Welcome to Playful Joy, a parenting podcast without the guilt. My name is Charlene Nicole, and I've been a teacher for more than 10 years. I have two children of my own, and I've been working with children since I began babysitting around the age of 13. I've also worked with children with special needs in daycares, preschools, and one very special foster home. I wanted to start this podcast because I wanted to rediscover the joy of parenting and being with my children again, and just share funny stories to make you laugh. I want to help dispel the myths of perfection we see on social media and remove shame and blame from this parenting game. My goal is to help you feel that you're not the only one who feels like you don't know what you're doing. You're not the only one who's wondering how life with children isn't what you thought it would be. This podcast gives helpful tips, tricks, and advice to help you with whatever life with kids throws your way. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you love it. Hello, welcome to the podcast. I know it's been a long time since I have recorded and released an episode, and I want to say that I intended to let you all know that I was going to do my yoga teacher training for 3 months, and I was advised to take a break and let listeners know that that's what I was doing. And so I thought, I don't need to do that. I'm going to get so much inspiration from yoga teacher training and excitement, and I'm going to want to record more episodes. And I truly thought that that would be the case. What actually happened is yoga teacher training that I took was weekends. So it was Friday nights, 5 to 9 p.m., then Saturdays, 12 to 8, and then Sundays from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So 21 hours every weekend on top of my regular week and regular stuff turned into a pretty intense program where I was pretty much at my limit of time and energy, and yeah, it took up more of me than I anticipated, but it was really amazing. And yeah, if you're considering taking that training, I definitely recommend it. I'd been kind of called, inspired to do it for a while, and I'm really glad I did. It was great. So I apologize, but I am back. And I'm done. I'm a certified yoga teacher. Yay! And it was great. It was really great. I will update you on that as things transpire. But right now, I wanted to record the podcast that I wish I had in my first few Christmases as a parent. So my first few Christmases, I kind of reflected on them and I thought, what would I want to hear? And I don't want it to sound cliche, but I just want to go over some of the things I did and then maybe what I wish I had known, and then wrap it up with a bit of some reminders of things we can do during this crazy, crazy time, because it's crunch time. It's 10 days till Christmas, and well, I guess it'll be 9 when this releases. You might hear it tonight. And yeah, it's coming up fast. It's coming up fast. So not to stress you out, sorry, but it is. And what I did my first few Christmases was went a little crazy. I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've heard about my first few birthday parties. They were really over the top, and I enjoyed planning and organizing them, and I enjoyed having all these people over. But what I've since realized and learned is it's unnecessary, and if it fills you up, if you love doing it, then do it. And a couple of the birthdays I did for my oldest, it did. It really filled me up. I loved it. I brought people in. I had friends helping me paint pumpkins, and I kind of used it as a way to build community, and everyone came over, and it was a great way to see everyone and catch up. But then as time went on, it didn't fill me up anymore. It drained me. It made me irritable. It took up all my extra time, and in a way that I didn't like. So I really think if you love doing something and it's taking up your time, that's fine. It's great because you come back refreshed and revived and ready to do what you need to do for your family or for your job or for your relationships. So it's not a bad thing if something is taking up your time and kind of draining you a little bit, but you should feel inspired and passionate, and that's fine. But so when it stopped doing that, I didn't stop doing them for a bit. And then, I mean, it wasn't great. So my first few Christmases were the same. I did everything and, sorry, I did a computer starting up and I'm like, what is that? I didn't bump it. Anyways, here's an example. I have a ton of Christmas decorations because I used to have my own classroom. So I have a set of Christmas decorations for my classroom, and then I have a set of Christmas decorations for my home. And the first Christmas that we had, our first baby, I had all the Christmas ornaments because I wasn't working. And I'm pretty sure I put up every single ornament that we have ever collected or has been given to us. And it's a lot. It's a lot. I stayed up until 2 a.m. multiple nights putting up decorations after. And Odd slept. My first slept. And so I should have been sleeping. And I wasn't. And everything had to be perfect. I mean, it's not the fact that staying up late to put up Christmas decorations is bad. It's the perfectionist part of it, of me, that was draining and wasn't positive. It wasn't good. So if decorating your house to the nines makes you feel happy, then do it. But it wasn't making me feel good. It was draining me. And then the next day I'd be snapping at everyone and, you know, drained. So this year I didn't do that. I did kind of what I did for Halloween, which is let the kids help put up the ornaments and just put up what I felt like putting up. And if I don't get to the rest, I'm not going to worry about it. We have a tree. We have a kid tree. The kids helped decorate. They helped us get it. I mean, we're going to make a gingerbread house. We're doing it. And I really think that it's fine. And another thing I did the first Christmases was I didn't want to give Audrey candy, like an advent chocolate advent, which is great. I think having sugar before breakfast probably isn't the best thing. But what I did was I made this like string with an envelope with each number on it. I mean, the kid was, I think, 1.5 when I did it. And I bought all the envelopes. I bought little number stickers. I bought the string and I bought a toy that had to fit in the envelope for every single day. So 25 little plastic toys that, I mean, were probably cute, but really she probably touched twice and then never played with again. So I mean, I wouldn't do that again. And since I've just bought, I mean, one year we had the Lego Advent, which I know are expensive. And then this year we have the Playmobil one, but I bought it, I think, 2 years ago on sale after Christmas. So that was cool. And then I reuse it. So the next year I've used the same Playmobil Advent probably 4 years in a row with her. She was little. They don't remember, guys. They totally forget. So I use it, and then I put the toys back in at the end of the year. And then, just like when you pack up your Christmas stuff, one day when they're not home, you pack up the Advent, put it back in. And then, I mean, they're kind of open, so you have to just watch. But again, Audrey was my first was a rule follower. So if you said, like, don't open that envelope before it's number 4, she wouldn't. I mean, I don't know if that would work with Cade. He's different. But when they're little and they don't know, and especially if it's the first and they don't have an older brother or sister to tell them, like, just open this, then they don't know and it's fine. So I would reuse Advents. I would not put up every single ornament and drive myself crazy. And I also don't wrap their Christmas presents to the nines. If that brings you joy, then do it. But it was stressful and I'd be like fighting with bows and making every bow like just perfect. And they just rip the wrapping off. They don't care. So if you care, then do it. But if it's driving you crazy, just put some wrapping paper over it, slap a tag on that says their name and who it's from, and be done. Stack them all up under the tree. They don't give a shit. They just want to get into it. They don't care. So that's another thing I wouldn't do. And then, I mean, the gingerbread house. I was so controlling. And I know it's hard when you're like a type A perfectionist. You want it to be a certain way. But if you can just let it go and let them, you build it. And like I built it the night before too. That's another hack. Build the gingerbread house without them. And then let them decorate it. All they want to do is decorate and get into the candy part of it. I mean, unless your kid is really into building the gingerbread house, they probably don't care. So I would do that before because it takes so long to dry. And what I did is put soup cans on either side of each wall to like hold the wall stable because I don't know if I mentioned this before, my husband works out of town, so I'll often be doing this stuff by myself. So you don't have like another pair of adult hands to hold it. And it was just me and Audge, and she's like two. She's not going to hold the gingerbread house till the icing sets. So I'd make my icing look a little bit extra thick, and then soup cans on either side. And then that holds the one side up, and then you can put the other side on soup cans to keep it straight. And then, yeah, that's a good hack. Also, teacher hack, if you melt sugar on the stove, you have to get it pretty hot, and then you don't want to burn it, so it's a little bit tricky. But you dip the side of the gingerbread house you want the icing on, you dip it in the caramelized or like melted sugar, and then you stick them both together, and it is amazing. It works like crazy glue, and it's edible, so it's fine. The only thing is it has to be so hot that it's kind of like a hot glue gun. If you get like the strands or like the drips of it on your skin, it really burns. So melted sugar works like crazy glue. Don't do it with children around. Do not let them help with that part of it. But that's a good gingerbread house hack. So I would just let them, decorate it now. I don't even really say much. I just let them have at her, and it's so much more exciting and like calm for me to just watch them do it and not worry about if it doesn't work out. And then it's a really great time for us to talk about what can we do when we're frustrated. Why is this making you angry right now? Is there something else happening? Do you maybe need to use the washroom? Do you need to take a break? You know, all those things. It lets them get frustrated, have an idea in their head and see it not happen in front of them, which I mean, even when I was making the gingerbread house, I'd be trying to do it and it wouldn't be working out the way I wanted it to. So that's what this stuff is for. It's for being with your kids, being present, and helping them through. That's the idea of building a gingerbread house with your kids. The idea is not to get the perfect Instagram photo. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But if you can be with them, let them learn as a lesson as they do it. I think that's much more valuable use of both of your time. Another thing I wouldn't do, and what I needed to hear when I was in my first Christmases with children, was you don't have to make enough Christmas crafts so that every single person in your whole entire family gets one. It was cute and everyone loved it, but my first was pretty much the first grandchild on the side of the family that's bigger. And so I would make a Christmas craft with Audra's picture in it for every single. So I had to make, I think it worked out to like 18 of these crafts. So the one year it was super cute. It was like her handprints were the reindeer antlers, and then it was a picture of her face, and then you put a red pom-pom on top of, like on her picture, on her nose. So it made her look like Rudolph, and it was super cute, and I love it still. But like the first six, we're both into it. By number 18, neither of us wanted to do it. It wasn't fun anymore. It was just like child labor, sticking this poor kid's hands in the paint. I mean, it was so unnecessary. And it's also unnecessary to make 18 different crafts over December. Like, just do it if it's fun. And if it's not fun, then just stop. Just don't do it anymore. So the hack for that is, you might be able to do it on your home computer if you have one, but if you scan, so you make one, the best one, you scan it, and then you just print it in color at Staples or somewhere like that, or at home if you have a good home printer, or at work if you don't think that's stealing. and then you just print it off in color, and then you just give everyone a print of it. Or I heard one parent say they even made a book of all their children's artwork and then gave it to grandparents because like scanned it all and then made multiple books and gave those out as Christmas presents of all their child's artwork. Like you could do one a month. Super cute. And you could do it pretty quickly, right? If you just, you could bind your own book, or if you wanted to do like Shutterfly or one of those online places, you would totally do that. In early December, you probably could get it done now before Christmas if you were quick about it. And you know where all your kids' art is. It's not shoved in a drawer or a Tupperware container like my kids is. Yeah, so that's some of the things that I think I needed to hear. And also, there's a saying for teaching that says, they won't remember what you taught them. They will remember the way you made them feel. So I think I really needed to hear that in my first years as a parent over this time of year. Your children won't remember what you bought them. They won't remember how you wrapped their present. They won't remember the amazing gingerbread house that took you to the brink of meltdown to build and design and decorate. They won't remember every single cute elf on the shelf idea that you came up with. And they're not going to remember how perfectly decorated your house was. They are going to remember the mood you were in, how you received them when they melted down, when they had too much sugar and couldn't handle the Christmas party anymore. They are going to remember how you made them feel, how they felt on that Christmas morning, how they felt the days leading up to Christmas if you were completely in your head and unavailable to them, basically, because you're thinking about so many other things. And don't start beating yourself up, because that's what 7 years ago me would have done, hearing those words. I would have thought, I am doing that. I got to stop doing that. I'm ruining my child. I'm not there for them. Oh my God. Don't do that. Just stop. Assess the situation this year. Are you a stress ball? Are you all in your head about your to-do list? If you are, you can change it. There's time. There's multiple days left before Christmas for you to plan some fun activities that you can do at a time where you can be fully present. There's also time to put on a fucking Christmas movie and wrap your presents when the kids aren't looking. Sneak upstairs, sneak to the corner, whatever you have to do. There's time for that too. Or to bake without them present. You don't have to bake everything with them either. Put on a Christmas movie, get some shit done, and then do something fun with them without thinking about the cookies you need to bake because they're already done. Because maybe you didn't let them help this time. And that's okay too. There's a quote that says, a master sticks to her tools. And during this time, we need to stick to the things that lift us up, that make us feel better. We need to be aware of the Christmas parties that we should attend and the ones that we maybe shouldn't. So this year, it could be after you go, or it could be before. Just think about how you felt, feeling like getting ready to go. Were you looking forward to it? Were you dreading it? And then after, do you feel better, happier? Like you got some great social time and you feel good? Or do you feel drained, annoyed, distracted, you know, drained of energy? And then you could write it down, or you could just remember that those are the social engagements you need to decline next year. And maybe from here on out, because they're not one of your tools. That situation isn't filling you up. So I'm going to share some of my tools, and then you can think about your tools and maybe it'll help you through the season. I've Instagrammed about it before. One of mine is meditation. So I like put on a show, I go upstairs, I lock myself in a room, whatever room that is. And I put on an app that I have and put my headphones in, and I meditate for like 10 minutes. And what I learned in yoga teacher training is the time that you are running around like a chicken with your head cut off, you need to make dinner, you need to get this, you need to do that. The time when you think you have the least is like the worst moment for you to meditate is probably when you need to do it. And my teacher gave me an amazing idea. She would give her young child a timer, like a 5-minute sand timer or whatever, or like a beeping timer, because they would come and interrupt because they're kids. And then she'd say, like, when this is done, you can come get me. So whatever, 5-minute timer, and you get 5 minutes of silence. It might just reset your whole entire evening, afternoon, whatever time it is. And then I've been using the senses to bring me back to the present moment. So you name in any time when you're just like in your head, thinking about all the things, not listening, you're not even where you are, right? Have you ever had that feeling where someone says like your name and then you look and you're like, well, what? And you weren't even in the room. You were off baking cookies and wrapping presents and shopping for the next thing and going through your list in your head. So the idea is you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So you name 5 things you can see, 4, then you go down 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can touch or you feel on your body, like your clothes touching your skin, your feet touching the floor, your bottom touching the seat, whatever it is. And then 2 things you can smell at that moment, and then 1 thing that you can taste. And I always find taste is like the hardest one. But sometimes I don't even get to taste. Sometimes I go through and I name the things I can see, hear, and feel, and I'm like back. And I just feel like I'm there again, and I'm present, and I'm listening, and yeah, it helps. That helps me a lot. So if you're one of those people that's into mindfulness and being present and being in the moment, the 5 finger senses is a really good one. And then lastly, do what feels good. So if it doesn't feel good to go to that Christmas party, you don't have to go. I give you permission. You can give yourself permission, but if that doesn't work for you, here you go. Here it is. You have permission to not go to that Christmas party, not attend that open house, not go to that dinner with friends, whatever it is. You also have permission to send your kids to the grandparents and not go to that social engagement, like just stay home and do nothing because you were planning to go to the party. So you don't have any like activities planned for that hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. You can do that too. It's allowed. I know you know that, but sometimes it's hard to feel it and not feel guilty. Sometimes it's nice to hear someone else say that that's okay. So I hope that helps. And if you don't have any ideas for Elf on the Shelf, oh God, here's one. I covered them in sprinkles and then made him make a snow angel on the counter. That was a good one because then the kids got to eat the sprinkles. One time he was sick and he was in a Kleenex box and he had Kleenexes all around him and a bottle of Tylenol beside him. And I know, I really like the ones where he's like flying down a string, but that's too much work for me. I don't know. I'm super lazy with the Elf on the Shelf. Okay, upside down glass and then a sign in there that says help. And then sometimes he's just on a fucking shelf. And Audrey, even my kids are too perceptive and smart. It's sometimes super annoying. We came down the stairs and she goes, hey, our Elf on the Shelf's on a shelf. That's funny. And I mean, she wasn't making fun of me, but I was like, fuck off. I know. I don't have any more ideas for this elf. So yeah, it's fine. Just put him on a shelf. Just hang him from a light, like chandelier thing. Hang him from a doorknob. They don't care. They just want to find him. It's fun to race around and see what he's up to. He doesn't have to wreak havoc every day. It doesn't have to be creative every time. Oh, and one time he was in the blinds, like you just stick his head through and his bum's the other way. And then I said like, oh, maybe he was trying to fly through the window and he got stuck. I just make up a story when really I just shoved him in the blinds because I didn't know what else to do. Oh, good luck. I hope your cups are full of coffee or wine, whatever it is that helps you make it through. I hope this made you laugh and I hope it made you think and I hope it helps. Thanks so much for listening. You can email me at Charlene@playfuljoypodcast.com, or you can find me on Instagram. That's my favorite place to be. It's @playfuljoypodcast, and on Facebook it's @CharleneNicole or the Facebook page is called Charlene Nicole. And Facebook won't let me change the name because they're annoying. So it's going to remain Charlene Nicole, even though everything else is Playful Joy. Thanks so much for being here. I hope that you find some playful joy with your kids this week. Take care. Thanks for listening.